I liked my chunky soup question. It was good. I mean, he remembers every play that he's ever watched or played in. It's a pretty remarkable ability to recall things like that. I just thought that maybe, you know, it was a Wednesday afternoon. It was a little overcast. I was cold. It was 48 degrees. And, you know, chicken noodle with rice sounded good. So I decided to go in that direction.
Can we call him back? Just, I don't know if he knew that I do the pregame for the Lakers. I just think he should know.
That was not me. What did he say? Fluffing my feathers? Is that what it was? Can I be honest what it was? I was kind of a little bit hoping that he was going to go, oh, I know. That's all I was kind of going for. Didn't get what I was wanting, but that's
the guy
kinda...
knows that you and Kirk do the pregame
show. I think there's absolutely no chance.
Oh, no, I think he knows. Why wouldn't he know?
Because he's busy with important things like running the Rams. I don't think that when Kirk and I are on for a couple hours before, 3 hours before until this year, that he's like listening to us on his way in.
You're going to tell me inside that SoFi Stadium locker room that they don't have the ESPN app on and it says Travis,
I hope so. Maybe.
And Kirk.
I know Aaron Donald's a huge fan of mine. I know that he and I are just, you know, simpatico, that we're on the same page at all times. Lakers got their best win of the season last night.
They did. It's a good way
to put
it.
Couldn't have come at a better time.
Yeah, and you know, I say this, and you and I, let's be honest about this yesterday. I didn't think they were going to win yesterday's game. I just didn't. It's very simple. I think the Miami Heat, maybe I'm praising the Miami Heat too much, but I know what that Heat team is. And then you go add Kyle Lowry in the offseason. Mm-hmm. P.J. Tucker's on that team. Jimmy Butler doesn't play after the first quarter, but Trav, there's a couple things I take away from last night's game. Okay, for the first time, I felt like you didn't have to depend on the three guys, Carmelo Anthony, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook. You didn't have to just depend on those three guys. Six guys scored in double figures for the Lakers yesterday. Malik Monk dropped 27. Wayne Ellington had 12. Avery Bradley had 17. That's why the Lakers won the game. They won the game because they had multiple guys contribute in that game, and it wasn't just on the shoulders of every shot Russ takes, you're looking at it and saying, why are you shooting that shot? I mean, even if you're still doing it, you had true threats out there with them. You had guys that can put the ball in the bucket. So I thought that part was big. And then just erase everything for a quick second. We've had enough games where we've talked about the Lakers not playing well. Yep. We've talked about the competition not being that good. There was a great vibe yesterday at Staples Center. I'm not kidding. You know, I asked...
Just in the building with the fans you're talking about?
So I was there through the first three quarters. I do the update, and then I come across the street. I asked Amanda. You know, she was there last night. She was producing. She's sitting there in the postgame like, hey, how was that vibe in the fourth quarter and overtime? She's like, really, really good.
Awesome.
One of the things I told her, I'm like, I feel like Laker fans, they're hungry. Hey, we were told coming into this season, this is an unbelievable team.
That's a great point.
We were told that this team is going to – it's them and the Brooklyn Nets are going to represent, you know, the NBA Finals, the East and the West, all this stuff. Since the season started, including preseason, it's been like, eh, this is average. You know, when you're told you're going to a fantastic steakhouse and you're going to spend X amount of dollars, you expect when you walk away from that steakhouse – that was top-notch service. The steak was amazing. It was cooked perfectly. You kind of go through the list. What you don't want to do is spend all that money at the steakhouse and say, yeah, that was average. And Lakers have played average basketball to this point. I thought it was a big win for them yesterday.
It's my favorite analogy you've ever used.
Thank you very much,
guys. In our limited time together,
I like
that.
Thank you.
Because
I'll be back on Tuesday.
it's a perfect description of anticipation, expectation, that this is what I've been told I'm going to get, and it ain't like that at all. That if you go into a really, hey, this place is great, the food, and the first thing that you get is a cocktail, like, hey, I like my martinis, Hendrix up with olives. Mm-hmm. Like it to be as cold as you can make it without leaving ice chips in it because that dilutes the drink, and that's a whole other thing.
With a game plan right there.
But if that thing comes out and it looks like somebody's been nibbling on the olive and the toothpick's all jacked up and the glass
you guys
isn't
clean
cold.
The glass or
and,
no?
And the glass is spotty and the martini itself is kind of room temperature, it's like, well, this is a terrible start.
If you seat me right in front of the restroom and I can see
a toilet every time somebody walks in, yeah, that's a problem. That's a bad deal. Right?
No, everything's fine. He's just washing his hands. He didn't use soap.
That's what I mean. And that the Lakers have been the lukewarm martini through the first 11 games of the season.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that the meal is ruined because if the steak comes out and it's perfect and the potatoes are great and the cream spinach is good and maybe get a little smoked salmon as an appetizer and the key lime pie is on point and you get a little Bailey's and cream at the end of the night. Like there, we can save it. We can save these things. But if we get off to a bad start, I'm in a bad spot. This is my favorite thing we've ever talked about.
With that being said, you walked away yesterday from that steakhouse saying, hey, I enjoyed my meal tonight. This was worth the price of admission, I guess you can say. Two overtime games in a row for the Lakers. They're 3-0 in overtime now. I think there's also some things, you know, let's be critical as well. Big picture for the Lakers. They missed six guys yesterday. Six guys were out of the game. They had nine players.
That's crazy.
Part of the reason why I was saying the Wayne Ellington, the Malik Monk, and the Avery Bradley portion, it was also something unique yesterday. I thought that coach didn't have the option of using 12 guys or what. Like, you, no, these are your guys. And, oh, by the way, you're only going to play Dwight Howard and DeAndre Jordan a certain amount of minutes.
Dwight could only play a handful of minutes because he fouled out in 8 minutes.
So each of those guys played 11 minutes, which is not uncommon. So really you were using seven rotational guys. And I bring that up, Trav, because I think that might play a little bit to an advantage for the Lakers. Can they start figuring out who the hell works and who doesn't work? Because if I told you in that two-guard position, this is because of injuries and lack of performance, I don't know who's going to be the shooting guard. I don't, you know, in each one of these games. And maybe if there's a silver lining, we know Austin Reeves is going to be out at least 2 weeks. He's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe the silver lining is you can start to really see, hey, is Malik Monk, does this guy deserve significant playing time? Avery Bradley and Wayne Ellington.
I agree with 90% of that. The one part, and you said it yesterday, you've said it again today, that I still want to stop and pump the brakes on it, is this idea that you're right. The Lakers only had nine players, and they're missing a bunch of guys. And among the guys that are missing are LeBron James.
Yep.
It's not insignificant. Anthony Davis played a lot. Russell Westbrook played and played a lot. Carmelo Anthony played and played a lot. That if
you're saying they have enough,
if Melo were one of the guys that were gone, if AD were one of the guys that were gone, and maybe you just have Russ, or maybe Russ is gone and you just have Melo, or whatever it is, then I'm more in the let's find a way to do this. But the whole point that I've been hearing over and over again, and I bought it, and maybe I just feel like I've been sold a bill of goods. Mm-hmm. Maybe I bought the timeshare too early. Mm-hmm. Is, hey, listen, we can play without LeBron, and not just for portions of the third quarter while he catches his breath, but, hey, look, if he has a little nagging injury and he needs to take three or four games to just get right, we've got enough to not just survive but to continue to thrive. And that's not what this has been, and it really wasn't what it was last night. And I'm not trying to throw cold water on the win. It's a really good win, but they did turn the ball over 22 times.
Yep.
They did have some crazy possessions at the end of the game that just made no sense to me at all. And I think that the blame for that kind of goes to Russell Westbrook. I think that Frank Vogel gets a big piece of that. I think Anthony Davis gets a little small ownership in that, not saying, guys, no, we're not doing that. Give it to me. I'm going to go win this game right now. I think that there are still, despite the fact that it's the best win, you can hang your hat on that one at least for a little while.
Yeah.
It was, but guys, Jimmy Butler basically didn't play.
Yep.
He played 7 minutes and then turned his ankle and didn't come back. You had to go into overtime, and if Tyler Hero doesn't fumble the handle on a wide open look, you might still be over there doing the postgame show.
So I think there's, yes, you were sold something, but I think that was the assumption. The assumption was, Trav, that is the assumption. If LeBron's going to miss a few games, Russell Westbrook's going to fill in the stat line. He's not going to be LeBron. He can't be. But he's going to play a role where he could be the quarterback. He could kind of keep the engine going. I don't think that's a crazy assumption to make 2 weeks ago. I think what we've learned over the last 2 weeks is, if you think Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, and Carmelo Anthony are a lock to get you a W in the NBA against 80% of the teams, you're wrong. And I think even if it's...
But isn't that a huge indictment of those two guys? What you just said, Al,
yep,
that's deeply disrespectful to the two of them.
So, whether it's disrespectful or not, that's what we've seen in 12 games. So I could only go off of the 12 games
seen. Let me stop you right there. I'm sorry to interrupt, legitimately, but does not their body of work as NBA players count for anything? I mean, these are not brand new guys. These are both MVP in Russ's case, multiple-time All-NBA player in Anthony Davis's case. To just say, well, I'm only going to judge them by their 12 games, it's like, well, hold on a second. The point that I'm getting is they're both great players, but these 12 games have been so bad. Does that mean that this doesn't work?
No, I think in 30 games from now, if we're both sitting here still having the same conversation and Russ is still taking threes that he shouldn't take, or turnovers, you know, he had another 8 turnovers yesterday, or Anthony Davis comes out in the first quarter and has a really good game, but for the remainder of the game doesn't demand the ball down low. If that stuff's still happening in 30 days, if they're still making the same mistakes they're making today 30 games from now, I'd be more concerned then. It's not trying to be disrespectful to AD or Russell Westbrook, but I think you and I would both agree with this. they haven't been perfect.
No,
far from perfect.
Sure.
And you said something about the...
I keep waiting for it to happen, though. I keep waiting for it to just like, oh, there it is.
You said something about the last shot of the game yesterday.
Oof.
Okay? You know, it's actually funny. Out of everything you said about... let me kind of explain what happened in the last 25 seconds. 23 seconds, Lakers had the ball to tie game.
Mm-hmm.
You had a timeout that you can draw up a play. And if your play that you drew up was give Russell Westbrook the ball and let him dribble the ball out and then take a three with 2 seconds left, this is what I would hope for. I would hope that either Russell Westbrook says, guys, I've been clutch the entire fourth quarter and it was inside the three-point line that
attacking
I was clutch.
The basket.
I'm going to the basket.
Sure.
Or if it was Russ, that's fine, you could have the ball, but I'm just telling you, I'm going to be sitting in the block, and if you don't, and I'm talking to Anthony Davis saying this, if you don't have the shot you have, if you take a bad shot and you don't look for me and give me the ball, that's going to be a problem. That's kind of what you want from these two
sure.
guys.
No one else even touched the ball.
But by the way, this is three games.
Well,
that this
you
has
know,
happened
I'll
where
be
I
honest.
Think execution wise,
I'll be honest. You pointed this out to me. I had not put this puzzle together the way that you did, and I think you're right. I watched that last possession last night, and just to reset it for somebody that maybe did not get a chance to see, this is the last possession of regulation. It's a tie game. The Lakers have 23 seconds and the ball.
Same exact situation the game before against Charlotte.
Yes.
Yep.
Coming out of a timeout, mm-hmm. and the play that they got, play in air quotes, was Russell Westbrook dribbles for 20 seconds and takes up a contested three-point shot. No one else ever touched the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, it's not like no one got the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking this is a giant red flag as to what can't happen when you do have all of your pieces where, hey, I think I got the best chance to do it. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to dribble. I'm going to try to shake you loose. And if I can't do it, I'm going to jack up a shot. It was the exact shot that Eric Spoelstra would have tried to force the Lakers into, only the Lakers did it for him. And my initial reaction was, Russ, come on, man. And you said, accurately, same thing they did the night before or a couple of nights
with
Anthony Davis. It's the same thing they did with Malik Monk a couple of games
against
before that
Oklahoma City
against
Thunder.
Oklahoma City. So now it's like, well, maybe this isn't a Russ thing. Maybe this is a we don't know how to run a play at the end of the game thing.
Yeah, you got to run a play at the end of, you know, and listen, the beauty is you're 12 games in, you're sitting 7-5. You got a couple more home games coming up here. Learn from some of these mistakes. Hopefully learn from some of these mistakes. Real quick here, today's stat hero of the day, of course it's Malik Monk. Last night, 35 minutes, 27 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. He took 13 shots. How many do you think he made?
10.
10 of 13.
Yeah.
Remember when we were at Lakers Media Day and I was sitting in the corner there and I told you that I could hit? I'm hitting 10 of 13 from that corner.
How many would you have to take to make 10? 50?
You're unbelievable, bro.
I think that's right. Because Russell Westbrook had 25 points on 22 shots. That's
Stat
not
hero
nearly as good.
Is the exclusive daily fantasy app partner of the Travis and Sliwa Show. By the way, remember I was telling you my lineup? I was doing NBA games.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I just did Ja Morant. Guy had 19 in the first quarter.
It's a pretty good start.
He ended up with 35, somewhere along those lines. We should have took Anthony Edwards, who had 48.
Yeah,
he's coming to Staples Center tomorrow.
And lost to Golden
That's
State.
The Minnesota Timberwolves. Stat Hero, the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/710ESPN for 100% deposit match. Again, go to stathero.com/710ESPN.
I am getting it handed to me in the NFL picks so far this season, so I'm bringing in more ammunition. Greg Bergman is going to be our guest picker for today, and apparently
unbelievable.
He's
the
been
guy
doing
has
some
inside
research.
Sources. He's connecting with people within the NFL.
Good. I hope he's got a guy in Vegas right now who runs a sports book that's saying, you want your action here, here, and here.
Well, you're going up against an idiot because I have got very lucky.
An idiot with a 21-point lead on this thing.
Don't do this. I know what you're doing.
The NFL picks coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't like this. It bothers me more than it probably should.
It's a good songwriter. I haven't heard this in forever.
I am getting absolutely torched on the NFL picks. Here's where we are heading into week 10 of the NFL season. Al is comfortably out front. He's got 50 points through the first 9 weeks. The guest pickers are in second with 33. I'm bringing up the rear with just 29. I've brought in some heavy artillery for this week.
Greg, some heat here.
He's not heavy.
You were telling me that you were beating up on Cap and LZ when you guys did something.
Sedano and LZ.
Sedano and LZ.
Yeah, two years ago. I don't know. Time's relative, but
one
it was
thing for him to just walk in right out the gate, chest out, like, yeah,
I just
this.
I dominate this stuff. It's really not.
I did dominate that, by the way. Laura's there; she can tell you. I absolutely dominated that. She was in second. They were bad.
Okay, so you know the rules of the game,
yes?
Because
yes,
I explain them to our guest picker, and they still don't know how to do it. But I feel like we got a chance.
Maybe
with you.
This is why I'm winning, because I still don't know how to play.
You're like, I just put one on this.
Don't
one.
Don't explain it to him, then. Don't
Nine
explain.
Weeks in.
All right, we ready?
Yeah.
All right, here
yeah.
we go. Let's start like
need
we
that
do
music.
Each and every
need that
da,
music there.
Da, dun,
I can't do it. I can't get into my football rhythm.
There you go. There you go. All right. We start each and every week with the Rams. The Rams are on the road. It is Monday Night Football against the San Francisco 49ers. Los Angeles Rams, 3.5-point favorites. Greg, you are up first.
All
who
right,
you got
Bergman
and where
with
you
the
got
first
them?
Pick.
All right, I know that the Rams struggle with the 49ers, but 3.5 with the way that they've been playing despite what happened with Tennessee, mm-hmm. I still think the Rams are going to go up to San Francisco and just beat the hell out of the 49ers. So I'm going to take Rams with my 4.
Ooh, okay, so wow. Greg goes Rams
all
at
in right
the 4.
There, right out
yeah.
the gate.
Sleep.
Let's call Sean McVay again, because I would love to get his opinion on this. Hey, Sean, we're doing a pick-ems. Travis has 29. I'm saying, okay. I think the fact that they're coming off a loss, this is the 49ers season. I think that's a fantastic point to bring that, mm-hmm. listen, they lose this game, 49ers are done.
It's a wrap.
I mean, it's kind of a wrap for them anyway.
Still take the Rams, but I'm not as confident. I'm going to go 2 on this one.
Okay, so Slee's got the Rams at number 2. I don't think it's a wrap for them, Greg. You look at you know who the seventh team in the playoffs is right now in the NFC?
No.
Atlanta.
Oh,
okay, so it's and Atlanta has exactly one more win than San Francisco, so they're very much alive if
they're
they can find
a
way to win.
Though.
But the whole back, after you get like past the top 4 or 5, the rest of it is a mess. So they're still kind of in this. I agree with both of you guys, but I agree to an even lesser degree than you do, Al. So I'm going to go with the Rams all the way down at number 1.
So you know what happens now?
That's why he loses, by the way.
Wait, listen. Do you know what happens now? The fact that we just did this the way we played it out. Now I need Rams not to cover. We need you to go down.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you're
right.
I'll win now.
Now we all need to lose.
All right, game number 2. Al, you're up first on this one. In Kansas City, AFC West matchup. The Las Vegas Raiders in KC. KC is giving the Raiders 2.5 points.
At Raiders. This one's Las Vegas.
My bad.
I have zero reason to believe in either one of these teams. I don't believe in the Raiders and the Chiefs. Should not have convinced me by any stretch of the imagination that they're going to go win on the road based on what they've played. With all that being said, I'm going to go ahead and just fall right into the Chiefs again, fall into this trap that I fall into every week very comfortably. Chiefs 3.
All right, KC, number 3 for Slee. I think the Chiefs are going to win 2. I just can't buy them, though. I think I've gotten them wrong every single week. I don't think that I've gotten them right once all season long, so why not? When I pick against them, they
love
someone
how
find
our
a way
reasoning
to get it done.
Is
it's
we
personal.
Have already convinced ourselves that we're making the wrong pick, and we're ready to double down on it.
KC at number 2 for me. Berg.
So this is the opposite for me, because I am a Raider fan, first off, so there's a little bit of that. However, the Chiefs are not playing very well either. Patrick Mahomes is having possibly his worst year ever. And so what I've seen, they're playing close games. The Chiefs are not blowing anybody out like they used to. And the Raiders and Chiefs are rivals. They always play well against each other. And the Raiders tend to win one of these games. So the fact that they're at home for this one and the Chiefs not really don't cover very well, I'm going to go with the Raiders and take the points. And that's going to be my 2.
All right. So the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, that still doesn't roll off the tongue quite right.
It's tough, right?
Minnesota. Home game here in Los Angeles against the Chargers.
Huge Minnesota fan base coming up to SoFi Stadium.
By the way, they're everywhere. The Viking fans are everywhere. It's a nice time to get out of Minneapolis, come to Los Angeles, a little warm weather. All that said, I'm going to take the Chargers. I think that the Chargers, they need to start separating themselves from the pack. Mm-hmm. I think that this is one of the weeks they do it. I don't love where I have to put this, but I'm going to put them all the way at the top. Chargers in 4.
Wow.
Slee.
First of all, let me just say this. Dean, don't forget, December 1st is right around the corner. Get that rent check over to Stan Kroenke.
He's got
to
have it on auto pay by now.
Do not forget how to do it. I don't think he does. I think Kroenke has to send him a text and say, hey, FYI, it's the 3rd. Remember,
late
there will be a late fee
on the 5th.
That is included in this.
I think he's 3 months behind at this point.
He might be 3 months behind. Hate doing this. Absolutely hate doing what I'm about to do. I think the Chargers win this game, and I have it as my 4 as well. It almost feels – it doesn't feel good to say that, but I think the Chargers will win this game.
All right, Greg.
So I have two ways to play this now, because now that you both took him with the 4, I
so
could
wait,
go –
So, wait, you're doing this based off what we said
well,
and not already
I mean,
written down?
I mean, you got to play the game, Slee. This is a game.
It is. That's why we change the order each time through.
Right. So, but
cheater.
It's called game theory, Al. Catch
right.
up. He still doesn't understand how this works.
There's a YouTube channel for that. But the way that the Chargers are playing, though, I really actually like the Chargers in this game. The Vikings keep close games, too. I could probably go with the same thing that I have for the Raiders in this situation, where there's close games. The Vikings could very well win this game, but I hate the Chargers so much. I'm not even going to lie to you. I absolutely despise
them. Do you hate
them.
The Chargers that
I do.
Much?
I hate the Chargers.
What's your reasoning?
You
I have my reasoning.
You guys
What's
need to
reasoning?
Go have lunch together and work this out, like have a therapy session.
Well, no, because I'm a Raider fan. So, yep. First of all, that is a major, major rival for the Raiders. Yeah. But my ex-wife, I know I'm going deep here, but my ex-wife had some things with a Charger fan while we are together, and I hate the Chargers even more because of that.
That'll last a while.
Let's call her up. 323-877-710-7736. No, but I am going to take the Chargers in this one, and I am going to put them up at the 3. So actually, that just kind of equals our all.
If somebody bought me Vikings gear this weekend and gave me a ticket, I'm in.
What are
like,
we going?
I'm high-fiving everybody.
We going throwback? We doing like
doing a Randy Moss?
Randy
jersey.
Moss? Yeah, that works for me. I think going way back to like Alan Page or something from a million years ago. All right, we are down to the final game. It's kind of an interesting one because we think both quarterbacks are going to play, but there's no guarantee that either of these quarterbacks are going to play. Seattle and Green Bay. Green Bay is laying 3 points. Greg Bergman.
So if we knew that Aaron Rodgers was playing, I would take the Packers, and I probably would have put them up at the 4. But because we, like you're talking about, we don't know which quarterback is going to play. We don't
and Love
know.
Was terrible.
And he was awful.
Yeah.
Awful. I mean, we don't know what Russell Wilson is going to look like coming back, even if he does
play. He only
had
his thumb reconstructed eight minutes ago.
No
sure,
big deal.
It's fine.
So I have no idea who's going to win this game. I'm going to think that Russell Wilson is going to play and not Aaron Rodgers is my guess. So I'm going to take the Seahawks on the road, but it's my 1.
There you go. Seahawks at 1. Al.
I got the Packers, and I'm doing it my final 1 as well. It's a 1. And I will tell you, I'm the least confident of all my picks out of all the picks I've ever done on this week. Don't like any of them.
I'm
with you.
I'm going to take Seattle for one specific reason. Aaron Rodgers, while he's been around the block a million times, he hasn't practiced. He hasn't been with the team in 10 days.
Yeah.
That has to mean something. I think Russell Wilson can find a way to play with one thumb instead of two. Jared Goff did it against playoffs last year.
Kind of.
So I don't love it either, but I'm going to take Seattle, and I'm going to take him at the 3. Greg, I need you to beat Slee. That's all
you,
I really care
thanks
about.
Thanks for coming.
It's two,
thank
against,
you,
it's
it
two against one at this point.
I'll be back next week. Don't worry when I win.
And he,
thanks for commuting all the way over here.
Emily needs to take
hallway.
A bite at the apple, too. So she's going to. Emily, we need to get your week. We need to get a Funches week. We've got some stuff to do. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline.
You know what we got right now?
Laker tickets.
Okay, so let me just kind of set this up real quick. This is for tomorrow's game, right? Lakers and the Timberwolves.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Edwards just dropped 48 points yesterday. I actually think this will be a closer game than people think. Now, if Lakers play good basketball, maybe not a problem. Call Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell. Call in right now, 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. We'll take caller number 20. You got tickets to Lakers and the Timberwolves tomorrow. Stay right here. That's coming up next. Travis and Sliwa Show, 710-ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Congratulations to Daniel in Anaheim. Daniel in Anaheim is going to go watch the Timberwolves, I almost called them the Thunder Wolves, the Timberwolves and the Lakers tomorrow night at Staples Center. Congratulations, Daniel. Enjoy the game.
All right. So, by the way,
Thunder Wolves. That's a pretty cool name, by the way.
It's not bad.
Sounds like an XFL team.
It does. It totally does.
It sounds like the merging of two franchises.
The Toledo Thunder Wolves take on the Omaha Thunder something or others.
The Thunder Jackets. What? It doesn't make any sense.
Thunder Corn. They'd be from Omaha, and they'd be the Thunder. I don't know. It just, the XFL has weird names.
We were hitting on the Lakers, mm-hmm. and we were talking about, let me kind of get into one thing here real quick on the rest of the schedule through 15 games, okay? So they're sitting at 7-5 right now. Am I crazy to think this? And I don't believe this when I say it, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyways. Can they rally here and take what they got yesterday and say, okay, now let's go handle Minnesota. Then let's go take care of the San Antonio Spurs. And then a really tough game on Monday Night Football. A really tough game on Monday night while actually Monday Night Football is going on.
Against the Thunder Wolves in the Monday Night Football game.
Against the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
Can they... That's the toughest game was supposed to be yesterday, and I know Jimmy Butler was out. Can they run the table here at Staples?
No, and here's why. We should not
give them the benefit of the doubt.
They have not earned the benefit of the doubt, mm-hmm. A. And while I'm very excited that they won the game last night, and like I said, there was juice, energy. There was some sort of thing in the air last night.
A better vibe, a better grit,
from the team. I'm glad that the building was exciting. That's all, because there are nights where the building is more electric than others. And last night the play felt like a team. Did the team play well for 48 minutes, or I guess it would be 53 minutes last night? No. But there were enough moments where they did play well, and it felt like for 53 minutes collectively as a team, as the Los Angeles Lakers, there was juice in them, that they were competing, that they were playing collectively. It wasn't all smooth. It wasn't all perfect, but I liked it a lot. That being said, there was a lot of stuff that wasn't good at all. And until they start to play much better defense, I mean, what did they give up last night? 117 points again, mm-hmm. the night after giving up 123 points in the game.
For what it's worth, both those games went into overtime, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's even in overtime,
the 22
that's
turnovers
amount.
Is what kills
22
me.
22 turnovers. Yeah. You still have some end-of-game issues that are head-scratching, to
There's
be
no
generous.
End-of-game issues. There's no play being ran.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Until we start to see some of that stuff taper off and get eliminated or at least drastically reduced, I'm not, hey, they've got, I left last night happy. I left last night optimistic, but I did not leave last night thinking, oh, they got it figured out. They caught everything that needed to go their way, kind of did. They banked in some weird threes. Yeah. They had Tyler Hero fumble the ball. Jimmy Butler really didn't
Miami
play much of the game.
Threes.
Miami couldn't make a three, and it still went into overtime, and they had a chance to tie it at the end. So, I'm not there.
It's kind of funny when you say that, when you kind of look at this Lakers team, and you know, you and I both agree, it's not just winning a game, but it's how you win. And yesterday was one of those games where I didn't care how they won.
I agree. Yeah.
Is that kind of funny? These other games, well, Charlotte, you could have done this. You should have closed it out. You were up X amount of points in the fourth quarter. Or, you just kind of analyze some of the wins that they have and say, well, why didn't they do this? Yesterday, I genuinely...
Because of the opponent? Because for me, it's regardless of the opponent. It's just that I just wanted to see them win a game.
I think the opponent played into it for me because they actually have a good team in Miami. Their best player was not playing, but then you could say the best player for the Lakers wasn't playing. Let's just use that as a comp right there. Their best player wasn't, was out for the final three quarters, but Eric Spoelstra was one of the best coaches in the NBA. They run freaking set plays.
See how open Tyler Hero was at the end of that game?
There was a period.
He was wide open.
There was a period in the fourth quarter where everything was drive and kick, there was so much movement with the Miami Heat, and you're like, yeah, no, that's the Miami Heat.
It's Gauchos.
Kyle Lowry missed a...
Gabe Vincent, the Gauchos.
Kyle Lowry missed a ton of shots. So did Duncan Robinson. But I go back to this. I kind of didn't. Yesterday was one of those games I didn't care. Get the win because you felt like your opponent was one of the better opponents that you faced so far this year.
Yes, except for I'm chopping off the last part of your sentence. I'm glad that they won because they needed to win. And yes, Miami is a good team, but the Lakers were shorthanded, but they weren't shorthanded like Miami was. Miami's best player was not there. Okay.
Excuse me.
The Lakers had their best player, but the two next best players on the Lakers theoretically should be much better than anybody that was left in
LeBron's
Miami.
LeBron's the best player on the Lakers.
I agree.
Saying that comp is not.
But who's the second best player on the Heat? Is it Adebayo?
Kyle Lowry, Bam Adebayo.
Okay.
There's a good balance.
I'm glad that you said this guy.
Yep.
You want Adebayo and Lowry, or you want Westbrook and Davis?
I'll take Duncan Robinson and
exactly.
Udonis exactly. Haslam.
You would, I think, everybody would take Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis over.
But this,
Adebayo
and
Lowry.
And you're going to hate when I say this. You have to taper a little bit right now on Russ and AD. I'm sorry, but it's what I've seen in 12 games so far from the Lakers. Why is Anthony Davis, who had a really solid first quarter, kind of taper off over those final three quarters?
Because that's what he does.
Not demand the ball in, you know, the end of the game regulation. I'm taking over this game. Russell Westbrook had some fantastic plays in the fourth quarter. We had a caller earlier say that in the same sentence, you could say something positive and negative about Russell Westbrook
in the same sentence. In the same play,
right?
Sometimes.
So he's clutch in the fourth quarter, has a couple big plays, hits a couple jumpers, and then there's also some turnovers that come with it, shot selection that comes with it. I hate to say it, but it's the reality. Right now with the Lakers, with Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook, they didn't win yesterday because of Russ and AD. They won because they got help.
I agree.
There were other guys that stepped up. Malik Monk led the Lakers in scoring.
And Carmelo actually had kind of by his...
He didn't have a good game. He's one for five.
Yeah, not by the standards. He said, it's funny. It's just kind of dawned on me. We've almost taken the opposite sides of where we started on this whole thing. You know, that I'm the one saying, look, AD and Russ are really good. You cannot tell me that that's not good enough to go win some games. You're like, Trav, have you not seen what they're doing? Like, this was the argument. This at the beginning of the season, before we'd seen a game,
we're
both on the same page saying it's going to take some time. But my jump off was, it's going to take some time, but Russell Westbrook, I don't know if it fits or not. Anthony Davis still hasn't shown me he's going to go to that level and be that guy. And now it feels like we've kind of flipped. You say, Trav, that hasn't looked good at all. I can only judge him by what I've seen through 12 games. And I'm doing but it's Anthony Davis. He's an all-NBA player. I don't know how many times, 5, 6, 8, something like that. Russell Westbrook is a former MVP and a triple-double machine. It can't be, we don't have LeBron, so therefore if we can beat anybody, it's just a pretty good night.
30 games from now, if the conversation's still going on. And just compare, you know, you said AD or Bam Adebayo. Of course, I'm taking Anthony Davis.
Of course.
But let me tell you something about Bam Adebayo. Yesterday, these two are going up against each other, right? Primarily throughout the game. Bam Adebayo, 28 points, 10 rebounds, 6 steals for the Miami Heat. He played 11 less minutes than Anthony Davis. So Bam's not he's a good player too, but
he's
not Anthony
Davis.
I'm with you on he's not AD.
Yeah.
I'm going to point out one quick thing here. You know, we're talking about the rest of the schedule for the Lakers this homestand. So the toughest game between Minnesota, the San Antonio Spurs, and the Chicago Bulls.
Easy.
It's the Bulls.
Sure.
That's the toughest game. Minnesota won't be a walk in the park. Lakers, if they think – when we say we don't give them the benefit of the doubt, if they walk into Staples Center tomorrow saying, hey, we just beat Miami, we're feeling good about ourselves, they could lose that game to the Minnesota Timberwolves. But the Chicago Bulls game, which is the toughest one, Nikola Vucevic – will miss multiple games testing positive for COVID-19. So I think he's going to miss at least 10 days, or he has to, you know, test negative for two consecutive or something along those lines. You know what's crazy, Trav? I don't know if we just kind of like turn the page. COVID is Joel Embiid has missed the last couple of games.
Yeah.
USC game.
It's canceled, postponed.
Postponed against Cal.
Yeah.
Did you forget? Like, I kind of forgot. I'm being honest with you. I kind of went back to, yes, I have a mask on and everything else, but.
It's funny how it changed, right? Because now it's, that guy is going to miss that amount of time. Whereas before, if there was a COVID infection, it's like, are they going to shut the league down? Nobody's shutting the league down anymore, right? When Rudy Gobert got it, we're like, and then, you know, like that.
Everything stopped.
The whole thing stopped. Right. The whole world kind
of
came to it. Now, because of vaccines and everything else, it's okay, get him out of the mix, send him home for a few days, but the rest of us are going to continue on with what it is. It does feel, it's almost like a twisted ankle in the sense that, okay, we're going to miss him for X amount of days, but he's coming back and it's not going to affect the rest of us. It's a very different dynamic the guys in the bubble, like they weren't allowed to go anywhere because if one guy brought it thing was going to shut down, and now it's he had it. He's in the locker room. He's in the weight room. They had to send him home, and the rest of us were going to go fly to the next city and play.
You know, in you going to all these games at SoFi, right? I'm going to games at Staples Center.
It's glorious. It feels so good to walk through those places and just see people, mask, unmask, whatever. It feels good to be out among the people. The Dump is coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Last chance, Al. Last chance, last segment before we're done for the day, and we won't have another chance until we do it at 9:55 tomorrow morning. Would you like to take this opportunity to congratulate me for my Paco Rabanne CVS cologne package?
Jacquard Noir should have been the one that used Jacquard Noir.
I remember. So remember we talked, what was it, jewelry that we had the conversation about? Like, are you a jewelry guy? Like,
yeah.
But the Rogers family is not a jewelry. How, this is when I was a child living with my parents. Men, yeah. No, we're not doing that. It's kind of the same thing with scents. Like, I think somebody, like,
when'd you get the earring?
A sixth grade
when'd
girlfriend.
When'd you get the earring?
Yeah, can you imagine? That would be different for me at this stage mm-hmm. of my life, show up with a
she get a
hoop.
Nose ring.
And not really a jewelry. That feels like that could go wrong in a lot of ways. Just that a nose ring seems like a lot of work.
No, I'm not much of a jewelry guy either.
What about the scents, the cologne? Can I get you the Paco Rabanne gift set
100%
from CVS?
I wear it every morning.
Come in here smelling like Aqua Velva, like Pete
it's
Rose.
Awesome. Cool water.
Cool water's a good one. How about Aqua? Was it Pete Rose that did Aqua Velva commercials back in the day? Who doesn't want to smell like Pete Rose?
Just go to Laker games. They're like, man, Sliwa puts on a ton of cologne.
I don't have much experience with cologne, but the only colognes I think of is Old Spice.
Old Spice, yeah, that's an OG. But is that Pete Rose I smell? Like, it just seems like a weird, like, I get it. Like, Natalie Portman, I think, does a perfume commercial for Lancome. Like, I get it. It's Natalie Portman. Pete Rose? Really? Just seems like an odd choice of somebody to want to smell like. Pete Rose smells like third base.
Love smell like Pete.
All right, let's go
like
to the
tobacco.
Dump. Ooh, this is exciting, Al.
What do you got?
Disney is negotiating with the NFL
okay.
to put the Sunday Ticket on ESPN+. Sunday Ticket is just basic. That's like football viewing 101. You have to have the Sunday Ticket. You got to have the Red Zone. You got to make sure that you got all the games, the Red Zone. You can bounce back and forth. It is one of the great inventions in television history.
You know what's funny? ESPN+, you know, you put in your account. And I'm a subscriber.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Okay. When I put in, you know, put in your email and it says alan.sliwa@espn.com, immediately
that'd
I'm like
$5 a month.
I'm like, guys, it's me. It's me.
Yeah, look.
I'm on there. Go look at the email when you put throw my last name.
It's
we're
not
part of the
EPSN,
company.
ESPN, it's ESPN. I'm not trying to deke you, it's really me.
They're like, sounds good. Get that check in the mail.
You a Sunday Ticket guy?
You know, actually, for the NFL, because of these Laker games, no, I'm not. There's a lot of these Sunday games that I don't get a chance to. I'll watch the game that's on, but I don't get a chance to just kind of sit there all day and watch the games.
Now that we are slowly but surely turning you into a degenerate gambler,
yeah,
you're going to have this Sunday, you're going to have multiple TVs with, hey, that's the Jags and the Cards. Make sure that that's up. I got to have Jags and Cards. I got three dimes on that game.
So why do you have 14 TVs? They only play seven games.
One for the Red Zone, one for the high.
I got rugby
channel.
Going on over here. Big matchup.
Some F1.
Dude, big matchup in lacrosse out in India.
It's to say India and New Zealand are playing cricket. What do you? Why wouldn't I have it on? I got five dimes on
keep
that.
Keep it
game.
Down, guys. Keep
all right,
it down.
All right. We mentioned
actually,
it a little
that's
earlier.
Cool. Disney, if
that's
if that
great.
Happens.
That's a it's an unbelievable product. Wherever if it comes to Disney,
but
great. But
man,
it's awesome.
Can I just say a second here? NFL, the freaking power.
Come
every
on, man.
Single network what, saying, what? Hey, how much can we throw your way to have one night a week?
I'm going to get
Thursday, Sunday, Monday. The way they're doing everything as well is kind of spreading out that wealth. Unbelievable.
Okay, so here's some breaking news.
Okay.
Is that's official?
Official.
Who's reporting it, Em?
Adam Schefter.
Wow. Odell Beckham Jr. is coming to the Los Angeles Rams.
Wow.
Huh. He didn't want to give us that. What would it be, an hour ago? He couldn't just say, hey, guys, real quick while I'm here, it looks like Odell's coming this way. I get that NFL
Adam
negotiation.
Schefter, former Browns wide receiver, Odell Beckham Jr., finalizing a deal with the Los Angeles Rams per sources. Hey, you know what you were telling me the last couple of days?
Mm-hmm.
Why would the Rams go after him? They
don't like
need
it.
Him.
I don't like it.
Not a fan?
I don't.
Can I tell you something?
I'm not.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Certain franchises can take chances on certain players. And maybe this is also part of the he doesn't go somewhere else. Do the Rams technically need him? Probably not. Can they find a way to utilize him? Yeah, they probably can.
Breaking news on ESPN LA 710, powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com to find a location near you and to download up to $15 in coupons. So you're right. You're right about that, Al. That the Rams, this is, I'm assuming if it comes in and there's problems, it's thanks, didn't work out, see you later. They've already proven they can do that with DeSean Jackson the way that they did. I mentioned this to you yesterday. He hasn't been an impact player for a while. The Rams don't need their wide receiver core. Cooper Kupp, I would argue, is the best in the business right now. Robert Woods is really good, really, really good. And Van Jefferson is getting better. You know, he gets more catches, and he's doing a good job.
Would you rather have DeSean Jackson or Odell Beckham?
Odell. He's just younger. I think I'd rather have Odell. But we saw DeSean Jackson had one play that we remember through, 8 weeks? I feel like there's some risk here. You're right. That if the risk becomes significant, then you just flush it and you keep it moving on. But I don't know. The reason DeSean Jackson isn't here is because he wanted the ball, and the Rams like, we're going to throw it to these guys instead.
Who was pitching him on Instagram? Wasn't it Von Miller?
Yeah.
Was it Von Miller pitching him?
Look, you know what I do like about it? Mm-hmm. It's another brick in the wall of them going all in. Mm-hmm. That they do not mess around. When they get an opportunity to do something, they go for it.
Certain players in the right environment will give you more than they were giving you somewhere else. Maybe they catch lightning in a bottle with Odell. Maybe he's just a threat down the field that opens up other things.
That was Jackson.
It was.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you said, he wasn't really doing all that much. He had, that 170-yard, 60-yard, whatever it was early in the season. I don't think there's much risk in this.
No, I agree with that.
There's only upside.
You're right about that. There is not a ton of risk in it because if it's, hey, why aren't I getting the ball? It's, well, you don't have to worry about that anymore because you don't work here anymore. Mm-hmm. They can take that positioning. I just felt like this wasn't a spot that they needed. The Rams had any trouble moving the ball? The Rams had any trouble finding open wide receivers? No, not really. We'll see. Like you said, very little risk, some upside. It's a good name.
Yeah.
It's another – maybe we won't see him on Monday, really. If they didn't play Von Miller.
Do me a favor. Call Sean.
Just call Artis
call
real
back.
Quick and say, hey, Artis, real quick, is Odell going to play on Monday night?
Hit
I'm sure
redial.
That. Star 69, is that
what
it was back
it
in
was.
The day? Yeah. How do people find the pod?
Right, ESPN app or on iTunes, ESPN app or iTunes. Just search Travis and Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN, and you'll get the full 3 hours.
All right, so there you go. Literally, just in the last couple of minutes, Odell Beckham Jr. is coming to the Rams. Another star player coming to L.A. to play for Sean McVay and the Rams. It is Trav and Sliwa to 710 ESPN. We'll be back tomorrow, 9:55. Mason in Ireland coming up next.